So anyway, all that to say, you know, it wasn't, people ask me, you know, how did you make it through it? Well, there was some levity in the midst of all of it. And I like to tell that story just to give you a little sense of how it felt at the time. And we were in the hospital for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and finally got sent home, and we're ready to get back to normal. Everything's, you know, get back to the plan, just whatever plan we had for our lives. And we started noticing Martin was having a drip from his nose that we ended up finding out was a brain fluid leak. And so we went back in for what seemed like kind of a routine surgery, but before we even got to the surgery, he contracted a brain infection called meningitis, which at that point, I know it's hard to explain. It's not that the other stuff wasn't serious, but at every point, you know, the doctor was saying, oh, no, this is all natural, this is all natural, and everything will be fine. And at this point, Martin had to be rushed in and hooked up to all the machines and the breathing tubes and all that. And I finally was saying to the doctor, you know, so is, you know, he's going to make it through this, right? And the doctor just said, well, if you have some friends and family that want to see him, they probably should come, because we really don't know at this point. And so we had friends and family come in and just pray over him, say goodbye. And then all of a sudden, he just didn't die. That stubborn guy, you know. And one by one, we began to see him come off the machines and come off the breathing tube and all the different things, and learn how to walk again, learn how to cut food again. You know, all those little things that I just couldn't imagine it was my life. And I remember even being at the rehab facility that we went to after being, he was in ICU for about 6 weeks and got to leave after about two, ICU 6 weeks and a couple weeks in the regular floor, and then got to go to this inpatient rehab facility where they would sit around, all the patients would sit around a table and eat dinner. It was the most normal thing we'd had in a long time, and they were serving spaghetti, and Martin looked over at the guy next to him, and he was using this packet of Parmesan cheese. And Martin goes, cheese, cheese. I'm thinking, first of all, he said cheese. Second of all, he remembers that he likes Parmesan cheese. And so I was like, hey, could you bring him some cheese? And brought it to him, and he managed to get the package open and poured it right in his milk. Gets the spoon, starts stirring it around. And I was like, ah, cheese milk, yeah, well, you know, there's worse things. The rest of my life, cheese milk. You know, I saw it all flashing before my eyes. But I tell you all that to say that, you know, the Lord has been faithful and brought so much healing to Martin's body. And at the same time, we have yet to see 100% healing. And he still has some vision deficits, still has some memory deficits. And if you're anything like me, and you have this high view of God's love and also a high view of God's power, it's been really hard for me to reconcile those two things. If God is a God that can take away our problems or heal our bodies with the snap of a finger, and he loves us more than we could ever comprehend, then why doesn't he just do it? And that's been something that I wish I could say, well, I wrestled with it, and then I've come up with these wonderful answers. And that's just not been the case. At this point, about 4 years out, I still have more questions than I do answers. But what I can tell you is that in the midst of my questioning, he has been there. God has been there with me and has given me just an extraordinary sense of his presence. My sister, I remember her visiting me one day in the hospital, and I was talking about, you know, that just everything in our life seemed to have just completely derailed. And she said, yeah, it's like you're going down the road of life and it takes this detour. And then all of a sudden you realize that the detour is actually the road. And that was such a good word to hear. All that to say, I don't understand God's plan all the time. I don't understand why sometimes he leaves things broken, whether it's marriages or wayward children or health issues. But sometimes God's plan looks so much different than mine that if I did not believe he was a good God, then I would think it was all just chaos. But back to that verse I said at the very beginning, I would have despaired if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord. I want to play a song for you. It's called Make Something Beautiful. I wrote it sitting in the hospital room. And sometimes, you know, in our prayer lives, I prayed for so long, God, fix it. I just need you to fix it. And after noticing that he wasn't doing it, I changed my prayers just to, honestly, just I was a little bit mad. I was pretty angry with the Lord. But in his graciousness, he has brought me to a place of just saying, okay, God, even if you're not going to do this thing the way I want you to, I just want to simply ask that you would bring glory to yourself through it. And that's a prayer that it's taken me a long time to get there. And I know some of you who I see your heads nodding, you're thinking, yeah, I'm learning to pray that also. And it's getting to a point in life where rather than viewing your God based on your circumstances, you begin to view your circumstances based on what you've always held to be true about your God. Does that make sense? Did I say it right? Thank you, Brother Ken. So this is a song, it's just a prayer. So maybe this will be a helpful prayer for you tonight, too.